Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue our examination through the book of Hebrews. We're in the 7th chapter, and we're up to the 11th verse. And so remember what the context is right here. He's talking about Melchizedek and how Melchizedek received a tithe from Abraham and how Melchizedek blessed Abraham and how the one that is greater is the one who blesses the one who is lesser. That's an interesting thought there, right? Now, verse 11. Now, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, and then a little parenthetical statement here, for on the basis of it, the people received the law, close parentheses, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? So he's asking a question here, which really just gets to the bottom line with everything. He says, if perfection was through Levitical priesthood, and again, that word perfection refers to completion, okay, that something is fulfilled, that something is complete in every way, the act of being complete. If the Levitical priesthood brought forth this completeness, then why was there a need for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and one that is not designated according to the order of Aaron? So why is that? Why is there a need for that? Well, it's because perfection and completion was not through the Levitical law. Okay? One was not. How can I say this? Completely and totally saved? I don't know if I want to say it that way. But that wasn't the point and the purpose of the law and Levitical priesthood. Verse 12 says this, for when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. So we've already seen that Jesus is of another order. Jesus is the great high priest, and he's of the order of Melchizedek. He is not of the order of Aaron. And so since there is now a change of priesthood, then that means there must take place a change of law also. Verse 13, for the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no one has officiated at the altar. So what is he saying there? Let me read that again. For when the priesthood is changed of necessity, there takes place a change of law also. For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no one has officiated at the altar. So the ones that officiated at the altar were the line of the Levites, of Aaron, the Aaronic line. He says, for it is evident, verse 14, that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priest. So that helps us with verse 13, for the one concerning whom these things are spoken. Well, who's that one? Well, it's Melchizedek, but ultimately it's the Lord Jesus Christ, according to verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah. So he's saying our Lord Jesus is descended from Judah. He's not descended from Levi. And Judah's a tribe with reference that Moses did not speak anything about concerning priests. Now, the tribe of Judah was a kingly line. And remember what Melchizedek was. He's the king of righteousness, and he's the king of Salem. Okay? He is a king, and he's a priest both. Okay? Remember how he was described? That he was the, let me go back up here and say, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Okay? Priest of the Most High God. And so, verse 15 says this, and this is clear still, if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such, not on the basis of a law, a physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. What? What is that saying? Well, he tells us the next verse, he gives a major hint right here, but let me just show you what's being said here. He says, all this becomes even clearer when you begin to realize that another priest is arising according to the likeness of Melchizedek. According to his likeness in what way? Well, and everything that we've learned about him, that he had no genealogy, had no mother, he had no father. He appears right here that he is of the Most High God, a priest of the Most High God, but he was also a king, the king of Salem. And the one that arises like this is the Lord Jesus Christ, another one who arises literally, and that is not on the basis of a law of a physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. Verse 17 says this, for it is attested of him, that of him is in italics, which means it's put in the English right here, so we can sort of get a little understanding about what's being said. For it is attested, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So here the Spirit is leading the author to apply that quote that we've seen in the Old Testament to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that with Melchizedek, that he was a priest perpetually. Remember that in the end of verse 3? A priest perpetually? What does it say here in verse 16? That this other one is according to the power of an indestructible life. What's an indestructible life? One where you are killed, where you are buried for 3 days and for 3 nights, and then you are raised from the dead. Yeah. That's what's being spoken of here. So verse 17 again, for it is attested, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now verse 18 and 19. For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. That's what I was saying a while ago as far as salvation. The law was weak. It did nothing to make somebody perfect or complete. And here the Spirit's leading the author to describe it as weakness and useless from that perspective. And on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. You know how we've just reiterated over and over what the whole point of Hebrews is, that Jesus is better, therefore believe. Jesus is better. He is the best high priest. He is the great high priest. But he's mentioned several times, and right here it said point blank, that there is a better hope, a better hope. Well, what was the previous hope? Well, the previous hope was the law, and the law was given by God to man, and the law was good, okay? But it did not bring forth completeness. It did not bring forth perfection. But on the other hand, there is a better hope, and it is through this better hope, through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, that we can do what it says at the end of verse 19, through which we draw near to God. Well, we've seen that draw near thing two or three times already where he's encouraging us to draw near, to draw near. The reason is because we believe and because of who we are when we believe and because of whose we are. We are the offspring, for lack of a better term, of the better hope. Jesus is the better hope. If we hope in anything else, it will fail. If we hope in him, we will not fail. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you next episode.